This is Android Buffet, episode number 247, recorded Monday, April 20th, 2015, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Sounded different.
Why? Didn't you tell
know,
me,
just
didn't you tell me order yourself a electric kazoo?
Was that the electric kazoo? I don't know if that was a yes or a no.
Yeah, that is the electric kazoo.
Ah. And how do you like your electric kazoo?
It's like the regular kazoo, only it has a wire coming out of it.
That sounds annoying.
I plugged it into the
board.
How do we
advance go forward in the world by going from wireless to wired?
Well, the kazoo previously was played into the microphone. Now it plays directly into the board. So next what I have to do is see how much is an electric harmonica.
One would assume by the amount of typing that you are looking to see right now.
Doesn't say. Although I can get a harmonica holder. That's one of those things you put around your neck so that your harmonica... harmonics. So we got a letter.
We got a letter.
Yes, it came
through
in
that whole
it came
we got a letter from Blue's Clues. I don't even remember it now. Never mind, carry on. I'll shut up.
The letter is from someone who reviewed Playlister, the app that somebody sent us an email about. Not only did he copy us in, but he also copied in the developer.
That was nice. Developers always love to hear how you feel.
Yeah.
They like to know when it's when you like it, but it's even more helpful when you don't. So what did this letter say?
You had an app developer ask for reviews of their podcasting app. And since I have some issues with Podcast Addict, I was hoping for new options. Unfortunately, I must say that my initial impression of Playlister was not positive, and I ended up having to abandon trying to use it after only a day and a half. There were some things I did like about how the app designer was accomplishing things, and so I will point those out below. Note, I have CC'd the developer so he can see the feedback as well. Also, I foolishly drafted my notes on the app in Gmail on my phone, and that draft got lost, so I am working from memory. Initial impression. The first problem I ran into immediately was that I was purposely trying to start off with a clean slate, and yet I could not find a way to stop the smart list from populating a bunch of podcasts I was not interested in. I deliberately deselected all of the categories for the smart list and deleted all the podcasts. But when I reopened the app, my playlist would again be populated and, more disconcerting, would start downloading RSS feeds. After fighting this for a little while, I decided to accept that the app experience required the smart list and continued trying to add some of my regular podcasts. Once I stopped fighting the smart list feature, I did enjoy the design of the user interface. The UI has a light-hearted coloring that makes me think of childhood toys, which felt promising since I want my podcasting app to be simple to use. Delving deeper. I started running into UI issues very quickly. There was not a consistent view of podcast information. I found three different views of podcast information from different places in the app: the podcast search screen, the playlist screen, and the player screen. The search screen would display a description and a playlist of episodes. The playlist screen would display an art pop-up with truncated description, etc. Similar problems existed throughout the app, where the same kind of action on different screens would produce slightly different results. This belied the very friendly-looking user interface, because I needed to not only remember what I wanted to do or find, but the exact path to get to that version of action or information. Additionally, I found that the information I needed was not usually accessible from the screen I needed it from, the primary example being that on the playlist screen I could not bring up the podcast information, which included the podcast episode list, since I wanted to add more episodes from the same podcast. This was particularly problematic for the smart list, because I was discovering new podcasts and wanted to add more episodes from them. I definitely think the UI needs to be rethought. I got the feeling that parts of it were slowly tacked on without there being a cohesive plan integrating the experience. Most of my other issues were probably more related to the app being in beta. like having to scroll through all available podcast episodes to generate a new playlist, or searching on the same screen not including the podcast name, preventing me from filtering the huge list based on podcast. Those would be more bearable problems if the UI had better structure. What I liked. Having download only when on Wi-Fi as default was a big point in this app's favor. In particular, I was very excited when I saw the option for multiple playlists. I have podcasts which are more like serialized novels, and I prefer to listen to them a few episodes at a time. It is nice to have some podcasts segregated so they don't appear in my general digest stream, where episodes are more self-contained. This is the feature I get frustrated about not having when using Podcast Addict. The Smart List could actually be a very nice feature for discovering new content. My personal opinion is that it should try not to be so forceful about displaying you its content. I would use it when I'm feeling bored with my current routine and want to find something new. I would load up the Smart List, which would hopefully have the most recent episode information, but not download it. Bandwidth is precious. Select one, which I fancy, and stream it or queue it up for download. I guess I would use it more like an automated podcast search than I would a normal playlist. Nail in the coffin. When I was trying to set up episodes for my normal weekly digest, I could not control the pre-downloading of episodes in a satisfactory way. I fiddled with the download limits, but unless I increased the limit to be very high, I could not pre-download the episodes I wanted without getting many unwanted episodes pulled from the Smart List. Additionally, I could not find a way to pre-download episodes on demand. For example, queuing up 3 old episodes I wanted to listen to later that day. Only brand new episodes would download. This prevented me from using the app because my phone bandwidth is a very limited resource and I prefer to download episodes ahead of time when on Wi-Fi. Final words. I think the auto-discovery of other podcasts is very appealing, though you want to make sure that when you advertise on a podcast, that podcast will appear in the podcast search and could be a good differentiator for your app if executed well. But remember the lessons of
That's Clippy. That's funny.
Oh, they couldn't find us they couldn't find Android Buffet in the podcast search?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember the lessons of Clippy from MS Word. Trying to be helpful where no help is desired or needed only causes frustration. Having multiple playlists can be appealing for people who subscribe to very different types of podcasts. For example, I have my tech podcast, and then others my girlfriend actually enjoys listening to with me. The screens are nice eye candy, so your design look is solid. My impression was more of an alpha experience than beta because of the UI organization. But with work, your ideas have promise. And the developer responded, "Your review looks very thoughtful. I will go through this point by point and get back to you on which changes will be made based on this review," which I think is a good response. I'll read it in more detail and tell you what I think. I'll accept
that
as a
response. That was an excellent review.
Yes.
And sending it to the developer was extremely thoughtful.
Yes.
And much better than, "Yo, dog, this stuff is crap," is not particularly helpful, but his review was extraordinarily helpful. So I give two thumbs up to the reviewer.
Yes, who was in the chat room last week, if you recall. He's not here this week. The individual's name is Alan Oliver. So if you want to come back to the chat room, we will be happy to give you kudos in real time. He may not be listening. Anyway, so we have some Android news this week. I was very happy. There was more than we've had in a few weeks. It's been a bit slow.
There's like more than we've had the last couple of weeks combined.
I'm sorry.
We might actually need an hour for this podcast. That would be, you know, incredible. That's cool. Yes.
But turning to local news, in Tulsa, an Android versus iOS debate had turned violent when one side bashed the other side on the head with a beer bottle. It's unclear whether the beer bottle was wielded by the iPhone or the Android user.
I think this is more a sign of the beer than the debate. I mean, people get into bloody debates when there's alcohol involved over the silliest things. And as much as you and I prefer, advocate Android,
I wouldn't bash anybody who used iOS over the head with a beer bottle.
No.
Would you?
But maybe if you're drunk, you would.
I don't drink.
Okay. So you're even more likely to.
Well, I think I'm more likely to be the one having the beer bottle bashed over me. I'm a pacifist, so if somebody was doing beer bottle bashing, it would probably be the other guy.
Anyway.
Yes?
I think the main point is, dudes, chill out. Right? That's the main idea.
Yeah, I was just taking a swig of my beverage, which is not alcoholic. I've been watching video podcasts since I was in bed last week, hurt. And I've noticed that a lot of people, I hadn't noticed this before because usually if I happen to be watching something with video, I'm usually actually listening to it and doing something else and only occasionally looking up.
Yes.
But since I was stuck in bed, I was actually watching. Do you know people drink on tech podcasts?
Yes.
I never noticed this. I must have just tuned it out. I meant they appear to be drinking hard liquor. No wonder those guys are laughing all the time. Oh, well. Moving along, the EU has charged Google with violating various antitrust regulations. They will be investigating Android.
Well, that sucks. I mean, bound to happen. I mean, you cannot be successful without getting sued by somebody for something, right?
I don't know. I've gone through life without getting sued.
Yes, but I don't think your level of success is at Google level of success.
Not that I know of. I wouldn't complain, though.
So, you know, just saying.
Well, hopefully it'll be resolved soon, but we will follow the story as it develops. Play Services has been updated. There's a new user interface for Trusted Places, and you can now dismiss the Android Wear notification.
I like this Trusted Places.
Well, there's a new one, Trusted Voice.
What?
Yes, they keep
adding. You're making this up.
No. See, what you want to do is you want to get out your phone, you want to go and see if the option's available to you, and if so, you want to record the best passphrase in the world. You know what that is, right?
Welcome to Android Buffet.
Oh, I was going to go with, my name is Warner Brandis. My voice is my password. Passport, verify me.
My voice is my passport.
Verify.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I love that movie.
You know, true story. I had to implement an API for one of our customers, and it involved some authentication. And in order to give you something nice and simple, to an API call that you could call just to make sure that your authentication was working correctly.
Yes.
I created an API called Verify Me that took two parameters, name and passport. And passport had to be set to voice, and name could be whatever.
Did people like it?
Only like three people got the reference, which made me sad.
I don't want to get that movie out of my bin. Oh, well.
It is on. Yeah. The DVR has, you know, routinely records a lot and deletes a lot. But that show is marked as, don't you ever delete this.
Oh, I just bought the DVD. I'm old fashioned. I like physical media.
That, and it's right next to Interstate 40. I love that movie.
That one I haven't seen.
Oh, it's a good movie.
But, you know, I watched more movies in the last weekend than I have in probably the last year. Again, stuck resting. I'm not good at resting.
Well, you appear to have come out of it okay.
Good
job.
And I got to see four movies. So missed the one I wanted to see, but what can you do? Anyway, the Play Store will be getting a Design for Families label. So if you're a developer who is interested in getting this label, you have to submit your app for review, and your app has to meet a certain set of reasonable standards, and then you will get the label Designed for Families.
I wonder if this is headed towards a family-safe / curated Play Store.
Well, I don't think so, because not everybody wants that level of...
No, as an option, I don't mean mandatory. I mean, you know, you can give your 10-year-old daughter a phone, hook her up to the Play Store, and set it as only Designed for Families or, you know, kid-friendly apps would show up. Just a thought.
Okay. Well, you're a better expert on kid-friendly apps. I don't have a kid to test them on.
But I tend to give my daughter pretty free rein on her computer. It's she just learned how to download and install Minecraft mods this weekend.
That's good.
Yep.
What's she going to build?
Oh, she's a Minecraft maniac. But normally she says, Dad, can I have this mod? And I go in there and I download and install it. But this weekend I taught her how to do it, and she's been enjoying that.
I have a question about that. So if you are a Minecraft user, you're a Minecraft maniac. You're not a miner or a crafter.
I'm not educated enough in the ways of Minecraft to know the proper noun.
Let's check. What do you call a Minecraft? Here we are. What do you call a Minecraft player?
If it responds with Steve, I'm going to laugh.
Minecrafters?
Oh.
I have no idea. Should call
Steve's. Steve!
Okay.
I don't get it, but apparently the avatar that you have in the game when you're playing single player, his name is Steve, and you are supposed to pronounce his name like Steve.
I'll stick to serving beer to people in bars.
Whatever works. Just make sure they don't hit each other over the head.
Oh, no, just if they get to the end of the bar, they throw me down the bar table. Sorry, for some reason, and I still have never gotten it, the game that I played a lot when I was a kid involved serving people beer. Anyway, moving along. Maybe it wasn't a game. Maybe I grew up in a bar. I don't think so. Anyway, you can now find your phone from a Google search box. Have you tried this?
Oh my God, no, but I'm going to do it like right stinking now. Okay, so, okay, no, so I am. Find my phone. For security, sign in again. Ah. To sign in, I need my phone.
See the problem?
Because I have.
You have two-factor?
I do.
Okay, well, I'll find my phone later.
That's okay. I mean, that's cool, but I can't sign in to find my phone because I need my phone to sign in.
I'd like to point out that you've just identified one distinct problem.
Only one.
Well, multiple ones, but I'm saying one right now, which is that you are not prepared for the loss of your phone if you can't access your Google account without your phone. That would be a theoretical problem, wouldn't it? Actually, that would be an
not a theoretical problem. Apparently, I did not need my second factor to sign in. I just needed my password.
Okay.
Okay.
So where is your phone? Correctly,
it is at home.
Aren't you at home?
I am.
Then it knows a good place to be, doesn't it?
It said it identified it within 17 meters.
Okay.
And actually, I'm looking, you know, as I zoom in, the center of the dot is probably about 16 meters away. So
that's pretty close.
That's within 17 meters. Ooh, I can ring it. Let me try that. Your device will ring at full volume for 5 minutes. Press the power button to stop the ringing.
Can you answer that?
That was cool.
Okay. I wonder if that's good for people who keep putting down their phones and not remembering where they were. Remember that happened to my mother once.
Oh, and sweet. It popped up a notification saying that the Android device manager had located this phone. So that the phone told me that it had been geolocated. That was nice.
Isn't it just located? Is geolocated a word? No, geolocation is a term, but is geolocated a word?
Well, maybe it would be temporally geolocated because it found where it was at a specific point in time. I don't know. It didn't say geolocated. I added the geo. I'm sorry.
Because I was having this anyway, debate with somebody over the weekend.
I also have the option to lock it and erase it.
That's useful, especially if it's been stolen by a malicious individual.
That's neat.
Are you worried about your phone being stolen by a malicious individual?
Not so much.
Okay. I worry. Not necessarily the malicious individual, but I worry about theft. That's always a concern. Stream went down. Stream's back up. Good. Anyway, but that's my story, and I guess I'll stick with it. So Google has updated the material design guidelines with additional sections?
Additional sections that talk about data tables, and units and measurements, and app structure, and
What's your favorite unit of measurement, Jerry?
You know what? I'm not really into design. Tend to like pixels because they make sense to me. But pixels are not the best thing to design with, especially since devices have such a wide range of pixels per inch.
I was just wondering if you were pro metric or pro imperial.
Oh, it depends on what it is.
Oh, okay.
You know, I like pounds, feet. I like miles,
but meters.
You know, I like miles kilos. When I'm driving. I like meters when I'm talking about, you know, things like, say, the size of a room or smaller. I like kilos? Inches when I'm talking about things like less than, you know, a third of a meter.
How about stone? I never quite understood stone.
I'm not a big stone fan.
But I don't quite get it. So if you
weigh a rock.
Yes, but if you weigh 250 pounds, now how many stone is that?
18-ish. But I'm completely guessing.
You're actually right, 17.85. You're pretty good at your stone conversion. But who uses stone?
I don't know, Brits, right? I mean, that's a common measure of how much a person weighs over in Great Britain.
I thought they switched to the kilo.
Well, the kilo is not really a measure of weight. The kilo is a measure of mass.
And how is a kilo 2.2 pounds?
It's not. A kilo is will generate 2.2 pounds of force on Earth at sea level. But 2.2 kilo, or 1 kilo is not 2.2 pounds on the moon.
But 1 pound is not 1 pound on the moon.
Yes, it is. A pound is a pound on the moon.
Interesting. I thought there were measurement issues there. Obviously, I have to visit the moon to answer all my moon-related questions.
No. However, if you weigh... okay, here's a good example. If you are 100 kilos here on Earth, you're 220 pounds, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if you're you are still 100 kilos on the moon, but now you're, what, 70 pounds? No, 35 pounds?
So by that logic, the kilo is the weight of the future as we go into space.
It's not a weight. It's a measurement of mass.
I should have paid more attention in science class. Anyway, a new version of the Groupon app has brought major design changes. If you Groupon. Have you ever Groupon, Jerry?
I have Groupon before. I do not believe I will ever Groupon again. And my understanding is that businesses, by and large, don't even like Groupon.
I know. They have bad reputations.
Well, from my understanding, it just tends to cost them more than they make.
Like being the free app of the day on Amazon. Sorry.
Yep.
Unrelated. Anyway.
Unrelated. But, you know, amazingly, I remember that story.
Yep. That was my current podcast app, Pocket Casts, that did that. And I ended up giving them money because I felt they deserved it. I like to reward people who are honest about things. Just adjusting my monitor slightly. One second. Anyway, let's see. Field Trip now has Android Wear support. Not much to say about that. But if you want to know interesting things around you on your watch, you now can.
Ew.
And if you're interested in Meerkat and jealous of all those iOS people who have it, there's an invite-only beta of Meerkat. Would you use Meerkat, Jerry? I don't quite get this concept, but apparently it's very popular.
What is this, a Justin TV thing?
I guess. Apparently you stream yourself doing things. Do you think that your life is so interesting that other people want to watch it?
Absolutely not.
Well, no, there are certain brief periods in my life where I think something is happening interestingly enough for me to share with other people. For example, if I went somewhere interesting. However, that doesn't seem to be the point. I think I'm fairly boring, so I don't think anybody would want to watch me. Maybe somebody more interesting than me. I could see a Jerry Meerkat. Here's Jerry sitting in his house with his 15 monitors.
Do not have 15 monitors, at least not in my office.
I'm exaggerating for comedic effect here.
10. I have 10 monitors in my office.
Not that much of an exaggeration, is it?
I don't know.
I'm thinking of getting rid of one. You want it?
How big is it?
17-inch.
No.
Yep.
My smallest monitor's 21.
Yeah, I know you think size matters.
Pixels matter.
I think they do. I just replaced a monitor.
Cool. What'd you replace it with?
A bigger one.
Another monitor.
A bigger one.
Cool.
I'm moving from 1600 width to 1920 width.
What are you doing to your vertical resolution?
Well,
did you get a 16:9 or a 16:10 monitor?
Well, these are standard HD resolution.
Oh, I hate that.
But I came up with a solution. I decided to be wacky and turn one of the monitors into portrait mode.
There you go.
That's the one I'm putting the messages on. So that's where the IRC chat is. I rewired it last weekend. Had to prepare for the electric harmonica to come in. Anyway, let's see here. AnyDo 3.0 was released with a material design, list sharing, and tablet support.
Ooh, it's a to-do list.
We get a lot of those. You think that with all this to-doing people were doing, that the world would be a much more organized place than it is. DuckDuckGo is beta testing their updated material design application.
They have an app, and they're updating their design, which is cool.
Yeah, but they're putting in other things. It's just the primary thing is they're redesigning it for the modern era. Google released a handwriting keyboard app, although it technically can't be called a keyboard, but since it uses like a keyboard, it is an input app, if you want to call it the broader one. Did you try this?
No.
Not bad.
My handwriting. I'm not good at writing with my fingers.
Oh, I have a stylus sitting around here I never use. I use that. I was able to get it to understand a few things. It did some word prediction.
I thought there was a... It had been mathematically proven that universal handwriting recognition was impossible.
Yeah, but you can teach something to understand your handwriting. Universal would mean that Universal would mean that out of the box, it would understand everybody. But you could train it to be more accurate with you by correcting it. It can learn. It can grow.
Well, that's nice.
So how about this?
I don't know who this would be useful for. I mean, it's neat and all, but...
Well, I think that handwriting is not necessarily useful as a keyboard input, but you start thinking of people who, let's say, want to sign their signatures. You know, for legal documents, there's potential.
I think this is the voicemail experiment.
Oh, they have to do it somehow.
You know, Google offered voicemail transcription for free, right?
They still do.
And I believe it was because they were trying to get samples of voice and with corrected...
In order to get better.
In order to get better at voice recognition, which they used for their voice recognition stuff that they do now. I wonder if this is not diving into handwriting recognition so that they can get better at recognizing handwritten stuff.
It could be. I'm not saying it isn't. But I don't know. Who knows what strange ideas lurk in the confines of the Googleplex. I was trying for an overly dramatic comment there.
You made it.
Okay. Google's Android for Work application is now available for phones below Android 5.0, but above Android 4.0. It's built into 5.0. So the idea is to separate out your work and your home stuff. I have silenced you, Jerry.
Yes, I have no comment about this.
How about Opera? They've updated their mini browser, and they want to have 275 million users by 2017.
If they have 500 million users right now, they'll probably get there.
Okay.
See what I did there?
Yes. So you think they will continue to lose market share?
You know, interestingly enough, I do. Or maybe not interestingly. Maybe the word is surprisingly, although I don't think it's very surprising. I'm cynical.
I've noticed that about you, Jerry. So am I. But I'm optimistic about other people. I'm only cynical about things that involve me. I think it's fair that way. I think you will be very successful and happy, Jerry.
I am.
See? My optimism has worked.
Yep.
IKEA has made it easy to add Qi charging to your furniture. Not only will they be selling a line of Qi-enabled furniture, but they will offer you a drill bit and a kit to add Qi charging to existing furniture. So if you have a desk and you're willing to drill a hole in it, you could have your Qi. Isn't that exciting?
It would be, but I still think you're pronouncing it wrong.
I'll keep that in mind, Jer.
As you point out, I may not be the best authority on how to pronounce things.
I know that, Jer. Or for Ger.
Anyway.
Let's see what we have here. Oh, yes. The FBI cannot cut people's internet and pose as cable repair in order to search properties.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And in media news, Verizon Fios released a whole bunch of new customizable packages, possibly inspired by Sling TV. Unfortunately, they apparently didn't check their contracts because it violates their contract with ESPN, which apparently must be forced on all users whether or not they like sports or not. Do you know that I pay $6 a month to get ESPN?
Stop doing that. Although if you don't pay $8 or if you don't pay $6 a month, then everybody else that does want it will have to pay $20 a month. ESPN is expensive.
Okay, so what you're saying is I'm subsidizing your sports watching?
I'm saying yes, you are.
I don't want to.
But that's how the modern world works. Everybody subsidizes everybody else's stuff.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind the next time I'd like you to subsidize my favorite channel. Moving along. Google will propose that its QUIC protocol, which is HTTP over UDP, become an internet standard. They intend to clean it up and put it out there. I guess they're flush with their success over HTTP2.
Guess how much I like this.
Either not at all or very much.
Not at all. Zero. Nothing.
Why?
Okay. One of the things that you get with TCP, right? Because... TCP starts with a handshake, right? ACK, SYNACK, ACK, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That means that if you tell me that you are IP address X, then when I respond to you to SynAccu, I'm going to respond to that IP address, right?
Okay.
And then you're going to respond back to me saying ACK when you get it, right? So this ensures that both devices can actually reach each other, right?
I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. It also means that if you send me a TCP SYN with an IP address that is not yours, when I go to SYNAC it, you never get it, right? So if you're over at TCP address A and you send me a TCP packet that says that your address is actually B, then when I respond back and go, okay, B, ACME, baby, B is going to receive that packet and go, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, and it's just going to drop the packet, right? So in TCP, spoofing an IP address is almost impossible. In order to spoof an IP address, you have to have control over that person's pipe, right? Make sense? Yes.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I understand the concept.
UDP does not have this requirement. In UDP, you can put whatever IP address you want in it, and there is no way for the person receiving that UDP packet to have any possible verification that that's where it actually came from. And this is where a lot of DDoS attacks come from these so-called magnification attacks, because you can send a UDP packet to a time server and say, I want to know what time it is. Can you tell me what time it is? And this is just a UDP packet that you send off to it. So I can send an NTP server a UDP packet with your IP address, and it's going to respond to you with all of its time information that you didn't ask for, right? Now, if this was TCP, then when I go to send it a packet saying, send you all this time information, then the server would send an ACK to you, and you wouldn't be expecting it, so you would drop it. And the time server would never send you a whole bunch of time information. It would send you one packet, the SYNAC. And since you don't act to it, it would just drop it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Well, I've heard of that particular concept as well.
Well, because there's no handshake, UDP makes IP spoofing trivial. And we spend so much effort on making sure that you are talking to the person that you think you're talking to, you know, SSL, I mean, all these certificates and transport layer security and, you know, DNSSEC to make sure that you get the right IP address.
Nobody uses DNSSEC.
Well, I believe eventually we will.
I believe eventually we'll go to IPv6, but I'm not optimistic.
I think you're crazy.
And that's despite the fact that I still don't understand IPv6, despite the fact I keep trying.
Okay. Well, UDP takes away all of that, and I'm not sure I approve. I like that. Okay, there are certainly instances where UDP is valuable. It's a protocol that's got its uses. But sending me secure information is not one of them, in my opinion. That's it. That's why I don't like it at all.
Maybe they'll address your concerns someday.
I doubt it.
Quite possibly. Walmart Family Mobile has raised the data on its most inexpensive plans. So guess what you can now get, Jerry? For $29.88 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and data with up to 1 gigabyte of 4G data. For $39.88 a month, you can get up to 3 gigabytes of 4G data. Tax is not
included. Well, they added 500 megabytes to each one of their LTE plans.
Correct. And bear in mind, after you use the 1 gigabyte, they just slow you down.
To 3G speeds.
No, to 2G speeds.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy talk.
It's better than charging you massive overage rates.
There is that.
I don't know. Would you want to be part of Walmart Family Mobile?
Probably not. But, you know, I guess it makes sense. Because if you're going to Walmart Family Mobile, then you're probably price sensitive. So the overcharge would not be ideal. So the throttling you to slower than dial-up is the preferred action.
It's referred to as bandwidth management.
Yes, because that's how that works.
Absolutely not. But that's how the companies want you to think it works. So Netflix will be securing its video streams with HTTPS. So the next time you watch, what's a popular Netflix show now?
House of Cards.
Okay.
Daredevil.
I haven't seen that one.
They just released the first season of Daredevil. I haven't watched it yet either.
I hear good things. I hear you can get descriptive audio. So if you can't watch Daredevil, you can hear Daredevil.
That's so appropriate.
Apparently there were complaints. I'm surprised, though. I wouldn't think there'd be a big market with the visually impaired to actually have a Netflix subscription, but apparently there must be. I've never really looked into it, though. I know that there is descriptive audio, but I didn't know Netflix had any. But I obviously wasn't looking for it. Sprint will bring a new phone to your home and set it up for you. So, Jerry, are you going to try this the next time you get a phone? Are you going to ask Sprint to come to your home to show you how to use it?
I'm going to go with no.
Oh, I'd like to see a complete stranger come to my home and tell me how to use my phone.
Good luck with that.
Just for the amusement value. But I'm one of those people who keeps telemarketers on the phone because I'm bored. If you think I'm bad, you should see some of the other members of my family.
Are you saying it's genetic?
No. We just have odd senses of humor. There's one member of my family who, whenever he gets a telemarketer call, adopts a heavy Russian accent and attempts to engage them in ludicrous conversations.
Okie dokie.
Haven't I told you I'm the normal one? Isn't that scary?
Not really. You're pretty normal.
That's what I'm saying.
As much as you like to think you're not, you are. You're fairly normal.
Am I? I thought I was eccentric.
No.
I'm disappointed. Anyway, in an unrelated bit of news before I forget, there was a major problem with the Wink smart home hub over the weekend. I know this because I happen to own one of those things. I bought it at Home Depot.
And what was the problem?
Oh, sometime on Saturday night, they locked themselves out of a large percentage of their Wink hubs due to a botched security update caused by an expired SSL certificate. So the wisdom of having a device in your home that can only be accessed through the cloud and can't be accessed directly from your home is a commentary in itself. But basically, they forgot to renew their SSL certificate, and as a result, a update effectively bricked the device. And they were emailing people in the wee hours of Sunday morning and telling them that they'd have to mail the device in to have it updated. Fortunately, they came up with a solution. They made everybody reroute their DNS so that everything would point directly at their server temporarily so that they could deliver the new update and get the device working again.
I'm sure their servers love that, although maybe they don't have enough users for it to actually be noticeable.
Well, imagine the alternative. Originally, they said that they'd have to accept everybody's devices by mail-in, reprogram them, and send them out again. I'd rather rent the server space.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be cheaper in the long run. So I got it working again. I just found it a little interesting. Quirky has enough reputation problems. You're familiar with them? That's that company that makes things that people think up. Which is that's probably a bad description. It's an invention company that allows inventors to submit their ideas while assisting them in the development process. So I was getting emails from Ben Kaufman, the CEO.
Okay.
Apparently, it was all hands on deck over at Quirky. According to his bio, he is the maker, breaker, founder, and CEO of Quirky, previously the founder of Mophie. Did he invent that juicy thing that they use for iPhones? Anyway, Quirky is... let's see if I can name some of the things that Quirky has made. The cord wrap for your charger, a wine chiller and aerator, pivot power, which is a pivoting flexible surge protector, a 4-port USB charging station, desktop cord managers, a power cord wrap for a MacBook, a cosmetics organizer, an egg separator, and they got into this Wink thing, which is the Wink is a home automation hub. I figured it was interesting. So I bought it for $20. It's been a bit buggy.
Oh.
Well, this sort of is evidence of how buggy it's been. Anyway, I think we've run out of things to talk about, Jer. Until next week, we need to save something.
We almost made it to an hour. That's awesome. And there was like almost no squirrel. There was a little squirrel, but not much squirrel.
Well, I don't know. I thought the botched SSL thing was, you know, we always, you know, seem to comment on security type things. I think it's interesting when a company does that.
Well,
I did like how it's they phrased it.
Something that interests me.
Yeah, but I think that the way that the email that they sent before they figured out that they could just reprogram everybody's DNS was very interesting. Let's see, do I still have that email? Here we are. Action required. Your Wink Hub needs to be replaced. Our commitment to delivering the most secure smart home platform possible has an unintended consequence. Your Wink Hub is now so secure that it's unable to connect to the Wink servers. How's that for a line?
So secure.
That well, it will you no know, longer talk to us.
The security and usability or convenience are almost opposing forces. So that would mean that the most secure items are completely unusable. So sure, I'll go with that. I'll buy that.
We are terribly embarrassed by this whole situation. This outage was completely preventable and caused by a security measure that was put in place to protect you and your family. Unfortunately, we failed to make an update to a security measure that was expiring, otherwise known as an SSL certificate, and therefore locked down your hub's access to the server. Again, I just find that interesting. I don't really know what to say about that. Anyway, shall we adjourn for the evening?
Yes.
Okay. If you're interested in contacting us, you are welcome to email us at podcast@androidbuffet.com. Otherwise, you may, of course, visit our website where you can find links to various other ways to find us. We are on Facebook. We are on Google+. We are on Twitter. We are wherever you want to be. As long as we don't have to pay for it, we'll put something up there. We will be back next week, which will be Monday, the 27th of April, with another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast, complete with Jer Janus and his key charger. Happy?
Sure.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
Anybody who utters the word MySQL and master in the same sentence is almost guaranteed to be an idiot.
I've never heard that in the same sentence. I guess I never will.
All right.
And just remember this pleasant thought for the next week. As long as nothing happens in the next week, we will be here. So you have something to look forward to. So whenever your week is getting you down, be it a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, you can say in only X number of days, X number of hours, X number of minutes, you will once again hear this podcast. And if you can't last all that time, there are 248 previous episodes you can listen to. Right, Jerry?
Yes.
Do you realize that if you assume each episode averages an hour, how long it would take you to get through every single one of those episodes if listening continuously?
A little under 2 weeks.
Isn't that amazing? You do realize that our anniversary is once again coming up. In July, we will have been doing this show for 5 years. I've scared him.
I had myself muted. Sorry.
Okay. Were you about to say something profound about the 5-year mark?
Nope.
Okay. Until next week.
Bye, folks. Have a good week.